Good morning and welcome to God Talk. This morning will be the second in a series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Sort of going to pick it up from where I left off last week. We are each of us born with natural talents, our intelligence, athletic ability, all sorts of things. But when it comes to our relationship with God and with the church, with the spiritual community, God gives us spiritual gifts, the gifts of Jesus Christ, for use for being members of the body of Christ. These spiritual gifts are for the sake of the common good, so that the church can function as what's called the body of Christ, since we are Christ's body in the world. As we're born of flesh with certain natural abilities and talents, so we are born of the Spirit with certain supernatural gifts, the plural of which is charismata. Charisma, or charism, means a gift of grace. These spiritual gifts come to us from the Holy Spirit, meaning the holy community of God. They're never our possession. They actually belong to Christ. They belong to the church and its ongoing work and life and mission for Jesus Christ. They're not gifts about which we can boast, hey, I'm cool, look at, I've got this gift, but really are designed to be utilized for God's sake and for a basis of praising God and giving thanks for the bounty of God. That we should be included in some way or other in the ministry of Jesus Christ. Now, last time I read 1 Corinthians 12, there are three passages of Scripture that I want to read beginning this morning that speak of these, the specifics of these spiritual gifts, gifts of the Holy Spirit for ministry to the church and the world. These are gifts of God. You can ask for them, you know. Athletic ability is, we can develop a certain extent, but you can only be as fast as you're allowed to be fast. I used to play football, and I tried to be as fast as a back, but I was a lineman. I just didn't have the speed. But gifts of the Spirit, these can come to us at any time. First, I turn to 1 Corinthians 12. The first 11 verses. These are all words of Paul who taught us, instructed us into these marvelous gifts of the Spirit. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, let Jesus be cursed. And no one can ever say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in every one. To each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Now, my friends, I have served 10 churches. And this is all true. To each member of the body of Christ is given one or another manifestation of the Spirit for the sake of the common good of the body of Christ. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the discernment of spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. And after I go through these scriptures, I'm going to talk about briefly about each of these gifts. And then I want to talk about, with the time remaining, the cardinal gifts that we must all receive, not just some, namely faith, hope, and love, as Paul explains in 1 Corinthians. Now I turn to Ephesians 4. Again, the words of Paul. Fourth chapter, the first 16 verses. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Oh, do we need to hear those words today, my friends, in this country and beyond. Maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love. I have to say that again because that has meant so much to me, speaking the truth in love. We must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. Isn't that an extraordinary vision? That's two. One more place, Paul, in the 12th chapter of Romans, first 12 verses, once again addresses this magnificent subject of the body of Christ and the gifts pertaining to membership in the body of Christ that the Holy Spirit gives to each of us. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ. And individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith. Ministry in ministering. The teacher in teaching. The exhorter in exhortation. The giver in generosity. The leader in diligence. The compassionate in cheerfulness. I suppose, by the way, he means that you discover when you're doing things like teaching or showing compassion, the extent of your gift of the Spirit for the sake of the common good. Okay, back to it. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Aren't these extraordinary visions of the nature of the church? How closely does any specific church demonstrate these kinds of gifts and this kind of unity of spirit? Wow. This is the model. This is the highest standard that Paul is revealing to us. And now we need to talk about the specifics of these gifts. Let me begin by this remarkable demonstration of the fivefold gifts of ministry from Ephesians 4 that years ago a friend showed me. Where he got it, I don't know. And that's apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now just hold out your left hand, okay? There's a reason I picked the left hand. Okay. Some would be apostles. Now the apostles, that's your thumb. The apostle reaches all of the other ministries and persons. Next, prophets, those are the ones who point. Evangelists, that's your middle finger, and that goes the farthest. Pastors, that's the ring finger. That's the conducting of the marriage, of the union of Christ with the church. And teachers, finally, the smallest, they're the ones who get into your ear. They get the deepest into your heart and mind. Well, okay. Let me go through the list of these gifts, not necessarily in the order of importance until I get to the cardinal faith, hope, and love, and then I'll spend more time there. And just say a word about each of these gifts that I can only emphasize, nowhere are we justified to say these gifts of the Holy Spirit may have been in place, may have been in force 2,000 years ago or for the first couple of centuries, but they're no longer in force. That is absolutely not true. As I talked about last time, healing and the miracles of healing continue and have continued for 20 centuries. There's no end to it. It's really more a matter of our loss or absence of faith that we're not reaching out to one another in love and seeking to be instruments of healing. Okay, first is prophecy, the gift of prophecy. A prophet, biblically, is one who speaks the words of God, words that God wants others to hear, whether regarding a specific situation or for all time. So some of us have received what have been called words of the Lord, which could also be knowledge, but could be a word of prophecy, which really means what God wants to be heard. You see, a prophet in Hebrew technically means a mouthpiece, a speaker of God's words. That's what a prophet is. Passes along a message. You could say that a prophet is a messenger, and it's interesting that angel in Greek is angelos, which means a messenger in the Greek New Testament, a messenger from God. And sometimes a person can give a word of the Lord and not even be aware that at that moment that's really God speaking through them to get this point of what it is that God wants a person to know, to do. I have a story to tell you, but I think I'm going to wait until after we hear the weather before I tell you this interesting story. Okay, I'm back. First, let me tell you, and I'm talking about prophecy that can happen to any of us, whether we're aware of it or not, when God speaks through us. And typically, we may say something to someone, and that person will feel or say to us, "You have no idea what you just said to me." And then we may not even remember saying it. "I said that? Really? Oh, okay, it helped." Let me give you an example of a prophecy, but it's more visual than this time than it is auditory. When I was pastor, associate pastor at First Methodist Church, I was visiting people in the hospital. It was a large parish. And I went by Mercy Hospital on University Avenue in Des Moines, where this woman, wonderful spiritual Christian, was on the seventh floor. She had congestive heart failure, and she had gained all this weight. Helen was a wonderful spiritual woman. And I was going to see her after I went on to Lutheran Hospital, which was about a mile farther east, to see that person and then come back to Mercy on my way back to the church. But I just felt a summons from God. Just boom, go see her now. Go see her now. Well, I didn't want to do that. No, Lord, you know, she'll be, I want to go to Lutheran Hospital. I'm kind of stubborn. And then the Lord just said, "Turn the car around." I mean, you know when God's addressing you. And so I made a U-turn on the university and went to the seventh floor at Mercy Hospital. And as I got off the elevator and went down the hall to where Helen was, guess what, my friends? They were wheeling her out. She was going to the Mayo Clinic. And she was so afraid she was going to die. Well, I asked the medics, "Can I just have a prayer with her before you take her?" Because she really believed in what it was I was about. God bless her. And that's always important. Faith, as you know, is terribly important. So they wheeled her back in the room just for prayer. And I prayed with her. And as I'm praying, you know, for her healing, blah, 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 my heart, I love this woman, I had a visualization of the holy hands of God with a big sponge full of water. And I saw God squeeze the sponge and out came the water. And then I began laughing because I knew that that was a prophetic vision of what was going to happen. So I said to her, "Guess what? You're going to be healed." And I told her the vision, and she laughed, and she said, "Oh, thank you." So she left having humor and faith in her heart rather than fear, and guess what? She lost more than 40 pounds, and she had a good period of healing life. Not forever. Physical healing is not forever. Well, that's an example of prophecy, a word of the Lord or a vision of God that we are to know. Well, then there's ministry. Wow. Ministry is doing the work of being a pastor, of guiding specific persons or the whole body of Christ through its growth into Christ. Now, there's different kinds. There's ecclesiastical ministry. Those are people like I have been, have served where you are assigned, you're ordained and assigned to a church to be there. Pastor, to marry and bury and counsel and preach and do the sacraments and all the things that go with being ministers. But then there's a charismatic minister, which means a person who has a gift of ministry, even if she or he is not technically a parish pastor. But those are the people you turn to when there's a problem, someone who'll give you a good word, someone who just kind of holds your being in love there and pray for you, someone who will minister to you. I remember my first few months in the parish way back in 1972 when I went from being a psychologist to a pastor. I tell you, it was really awkward. I mean, I hadn't even been to seminary. It's a long story. But anyway, I went to see this wonderful woman, Helen, or not? Yeah, actually, her name was Helen too. Isn't that interesting? And she was blind. She had diabetes. That's why she went blind. She had all these maladies, and I'm there to just try to, you know, be her pastor and talk to her, and because she was a one who couldn't get to church. She was a shut-in, And in those days, boy, especially in a farming community, one of the jobs of being a pastor is going to everyone there and meeting them, getting to know them, being available to them, any problems or whatever. Anyway, she proceeded to tell me the story of her life and how her this son died and her husband died and she had this disease. She went on and on and on and on and on. And I got to a point where I'm just having an inner dialogue with Jesus. Lord, I don't know what to say here. Lord, you got me into this mess. You called me to be a pastor. You called me to be a minister. I'm only serving you. You're the real minister, Jesus. So would you help? Please help. Because I said to her then, finally, Helen, you know, I don't know what to say to you. You've been through so much. You know, no nice little scripture quote or easy word would have begun to make her feel better. So there was a period of silence. Oh, the silence went on. It seemed like a long time, maybe 5 minutes. She didn't say anything. I didn't say anything. I'm just in prayer. Lord, you called me to do this. I said yes. I took a 2/3 salary cut. I went into the parish. My family supported me. Lord, help. And here's what happened. She said, well, you know, on the other hand, God has been good to me about so-and-so. And I watched as she began to talk about the good things in her life. And then, and I'm sure this was of the Lord, it hit me, even though she was like 75 or 80, somewhere in there. It's been a while. I said, you know, you could go to a seeing eye school. You could get a seeing eye dog, and then you could get around town, come to church. Well, she loved that idea. Guess what? I did the research. There was a seeing eye school in Cleveland, Ohio, and this was Footville, Wisconsin. Well, she got into the class. She graduated. She sent me a newspaper clipping. This is all true, friends, that she was the oldest person to ever graduate from that school. She came back to Footville, and she and her wonderful German Shepherd dog, Max, would come to church every single Sunday. What did that tell me? Jesus did that, friends. Jesus Christ did that. We are only ministers of Christ. Ministry is something I think we're all called to do, and we all have gifts, and when there's an occasion and a need, you can ask Christ, because this is Christ's ministry, it's Christ's church. Help me, and he'll do that. I guess I could spend a lot of time there, huh? All right, teaching. Teachers. Oh, boy, do we always need teachers. Teachers communicate and maintain the sacred truths of the faith. They instruct children and adults in the ways and whys of God. You know, as is said, if you are anywhere about which you feel good, and I hope most all of you are, then you should look back and thank a teacher or two or three who assisted you in getting there. I think I'm a teacher before anything else. A teacher is one who seeks to communicate lovingly, certainly in the church, what is the truth of God to children, as well as adults. The years in the parish, I always was a teacher. I always had one or another class, and typically, before a sermon, I would invite the children up and I would give them a 3 or 4 minute children's lesson that people often said, I get more out of your children's lesson than I do your sermon. A way of teaching. Just think about teaching and molding young lives in the way they are to go. Wow. You can see as I'm getting into this, these are extraordinarily important gifts of the Holy Spirit that all of us can receive. Exhortation. Exhortation is encouragement. These are the persons who have the gift of encouragement, the positive thinkers, the possibilities thinkers, who are blessed with the optimism of God. Boy, do we need them. Who do you turn to, or do you have someone to turn to, whether a friend, family, church member, when you need a word of encouragement? That is certainly an important part of being a pastor. I have had people say to me, well, you know, what got me through my crisis was your belief that I would get through it. Why do I laugh? Maybe I must have told them that because that's just the way of encouragement. I didn't know that, but that word of encouragement, that exhortation to keep the faith, it's going to be well, can make all the difference in a person's life. Who is giving you those words of encouragement? To whom are you giving words of encouragement? Would that we were encouragers. Wow. God knows we need them. Oh, by the way, I'm not going to get through all these gifts today, which is fine, because I will pick it up where we leave off next week. Okay, next gift is generosity. Those who are given much, from them much is asked. That's from Jesus. To those who are given much, much will be asked. So, for example, we think of material wealth. Those blessed with material wealth, the Lord would bless them to giving to the church and to the community of their wealth. There, I can name names even here of people who have shown extraordinary generosity. Because money is all from God. It comes and belongs to God, and it stays here. We don't get to take it with us. But generosity, for me, has to do with that willingness to be there for someone else, to be generous with your time, with your caring, to be available. That whole thing of availability, wow, is so important. That for me is the heart of generosity. Generosity. Generous with your time, with your gifts. Yes, with your monetary as you're able, but above all, generous with your heart. Well, if you would like to hear this, I'm coming down to the last minute. I will have this on my website today at drhalgreen.com. That's drhalgreen.com. And I will pick it up where we left off next week. We have a lot more gifts to talk about. And I just want to emphasize to you that these are gifts of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit and can be given to anyone at any time. There's not a point in your life when you say, well, I guess I'm too old to be a teacher or to be generous. No. Or to be an encourager. There's always tomorrow you can encourage. Encourage someone today. That'll make you feel better. And God bless you, my friend.